This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hi, my name's Ange Barry, and I'm the CEO of Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQ community radio station. I'm new to Joy, but Joy's been around for 26 years. We want to be around for another 26 years, and to do that, we need to grow. My vision for the future is for Joy to become Joy Nation, a combination of video, news and editorial, and of course, the great radio station that you love. We are so grateful for the support that our community has provided us over the years. But we are now reaching out to you, our friends in the broader Australian community, to help make this happen. So I'm asking you now to choose Joy by going to joy.org.au and donating to our Chuff campaign, helping us raise $250,000 to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Welcome to Saturday Magazine. This morning, it's great to be live again from the Joy Studios in downtown Melbourne. We've got a great group of on-air talent this week. Our guests will explain, perhaps complain, challenge us, and who knows, perhaps you might hear my opinion. We're out of lockdown and it's great to see that the CBD suburbs and the rest of Victoria is coming back to life. Tune in. Stay safe and please obey the COVID-19 rules. SatMag starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Joy 94.9, streaming online at joy.org.au and available, of course, on podcast. This is Saturday Magazine, the longest running current affairs show on Joy. We bring you the current news, opinion, questions and our commentary. We are honoured and privileged to bring you current affairs from a queer perspective. It's radio made by us, for us. I'm Macca. My co-host this morning is the punctual, focused and sensible Tess. Paul is on panel. Fiona is at home on social media. Gordon is getting ready to do our podcasts from home as well. We've got a great list of guests this morning, John. John Tass. I don't know what's going on here. John Posito, former...
Macca, who's that next to you in the other studio?
Oh, he's
what's going on there?
He's a visitor and he's here to do some special work for Joy. So leave him alone. Leave him alone.
Really? Is that what he's doing? He's doing special work for Joy.
He's got special permission to come in and do it, and he's working with Michael, and I think also potentially with Paul a bit later.
He's been pressing Tass's buttons already this morning.
Special work. It's very ominous. Is all I can
Isn't
say.
Isn't it?
Let's get on with the show.
Yeah. So, John Posito, former Liberal MP, lawyer, commentator, and a friend of mine said to me, "Oh, you got John Posito on again. He's a party hack."
That's a bit harsh.
And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Oh, I listened to him on 774. He sounds like a party hack."
Oh, I wouldn't describe John that way.
I know. I thought it was a bit unkind.
Macca, we've then got somebody from the AMBOS union.
Yes.
We're going to talk about cultural issues in the ambulance union or in the ambulance service.
In the ambulance service. Yeah, some real challenges there.
And Nevena Spirovska's back again.
Yes, from the Victorian Pride Lobby.
Now, I heard that Nevena Goss...
elected to the board of Thorn Harbour.
Thorn Harbour Health
on Sunday.
There you go.
Yes.
That's good news, isn't it?
It is great news. It is great news.
They're attracting some good people over there at Thorn Harbour, Macca.
And also Peter Whiteford. Peter is the professor at the Crawford School of Public Policy at ANU. We're going to talk about the human cost of robo-debt.
And we're going to finish off with Shane Delia.
Shane Delia, to talk about hospitality and how it's starting to come out of COVID, not just in Melbourne, but around Victoria. And also,
love his food, by the way, Macca.
Sorry?
I love his food.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Great chef. And he also does a pretty good TV show.
He does. And also we've got Dick Wynne, the Minister for Planning and Housing. There's been this huge investment in social and public housing announced by the Victorian government. Want to cover that off. Look, I want to ask you a question, if I may, Tess.
Go ahead.
We've seen what's happened in South Australia, where a lockdown was instituted, a very heavy lockdown, only for 6 days, which I found a bit strange, but anyway, on the basis that perhaps a particularly virulent stream of COVID-19 had been passed on by a pizza box. was then subsequently discovered that wasn't the case. The person who'd said that they'd just gone in to get a pizza was actually working in that pizza parlour and also worked in one of the medical hotels, as well as the person, you know, there's another person involved. Anyway, the South Australian government has changed the lockdown on the basis that this person had not been truthful. The question I have, Tass, is you and I, over many years, have seen the impact of good contact tracing, particularly many years ago around HIV, and how important that was that people were able to come forward and talk about and answer questions about how transmission had potentially taken place, right, to try and get some idea of how it's happening, where it's happening, why it's happening. There were never consequences for those people if they'd been engaged in, let's say, activity that was not entirely legal. That was kept out of, it was simply about establishing who they'd been with, what they'd done, where it was, and why. What we have in South Australia is the South Australian Premier has demonised this person for lying, and also the police are guarding the pizza parlour. Now, we don't know why...
What's the question, Macca?
What? We don't know why this person didn't tell the truth initially. I suspect it might be about the nature of their insecure work and perhaps how they were paid. The question is, should there be a consequence, Tass, for not telling the truth to a contact tracer? Should there be a consequence?
I don't think it's a black and white situation, Macca, and it depends on what your objectives here are, to be quite frank.
Well,
if we go back a little bit, I think that most people would argue that the course of action that the South Australian government took was quick, harsh, and designed to really knock this on the head, so to speak.
On the basis,
and nobody's arguing against that. In fact, many people went, oh, gee, that's going to hurt. But we've got leadership here.
Yep.
Very solid, very strong leadership.
Which interestingly was backed by the state opposition leader in South Australia.
Which is great, and that's what opposition leaders should do, in my view, is to back good measures. Certainly critique, but back good measures. And call it bipartisanship, call it what you want. But I think what we want to see is unity here, unity of purpose rather than division. What happened then was that we learnt more about what the circumstances were and took place, and perhaps this person didn't quite tell the truth, and I'm very disappointed about that. But at the end of the day, what's the point of actually attacking an individual? What's the benefit of that going to be? How is that going to change things? And how is that going to change the culture in which we live in?
And this is the
point that I want to make is that if you want to encourage people to come forward with the truth, you need to make it safe. You need to make it possible. You need to make it clear and rewarding to do so rather than to belt people around the head. So why did this person feel like they needed to not tell the truth? Why didn't they tell the full story is my question.
Okay, let's make an assumption here that it was because of the nature of their work and how they were paid. Just for the sake of this, you said you need to make it safe for people to come forward. When there is no consequence, you're also making it safe for them to lie.
It depends on whether you wish to actually take an individualistic approach or whether you want to take a societal approach or a systemic approach.
I'm actually
more interested in creating an environment that makes it safe and possible for people to actually speak the truth rather than fearing what's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
Now, what's occurred in this instance, if it is about insecure work and inappropriate payment measures, which is what I think you're alluding to, Macca.
I don't know that's the case.
But I think that's what you're talking about, is that perhaps this chap was paid cash in hand and didn't want to declare that in fear of retribution. Well, you know, why is it that that is possible in our society?
Yeah.
That's the point, isn't it? Isn't that the real point? And this is what we found in aged care here. We found that people were working multiple jobs, going from job to job to job, because they didn't actually have the security of income and security of work that they required.
I understand that. You know, we're going to go to a break. Let's actually start off with John Pesutto with this question. John's a lawyer.
And again, I understand the issue, Tass, but it's also about if that's one of the causes of it, there are cases of people who haven't been truthful with contact tracers that it's not related to insecure work. So you can't, you know, we can't just say that's potentially the reason or that it is.
Well, we're both speculating here.
We're speculating.
Before we take a break, Macca, we've just had a news report.
Something you're dying to tell us?
Well, something I'm very much dying to tell you. It's a news report that was presented to me by 317. Thank you, 317. It's also been validated by the ABC. Donald Trump's son, Donald Jr., and of course Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew Giuliani, have both now tested positive to the coronavirus.
I wonder how they got that.
I'm sure you're dying to tell us, Macca.
Oh well, you know, probably from the chimp and naughty Rudy.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? It just shows you and it demonstrates that nobody is immune from COVID-19. Absolutely nobody. No matter who you are, where you are, what you have, how much money you have, what you believe in, you are not immune from this.
Well, I actually thought that if you believed it was just a hoax and fake news that you wouldn't get it.
Macca, we used to say this about HIV, remember?
Yes.
HIV does not discriminate and neither does COVID-19.
No, it doesn't. Well, it's obviously not very discriminatory depending on where it goes.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.